So you know, I could have done this whole sermon series from that little clip. There is just so much there that we could talk about. We could be here until next Sunday and still be talking about the same clip. When I first started that idea of doing this prayer time at the beginning, me and God argued about it some because I kept telling God that's not how you do church. It's kind of a funny conversation to have. And then when Lynn sent out the email that had the listing of what songs we were going to do, and we get to this Sunday, and it said, Lauren on vacation, all videos. I'm like, okay, God, you win. I see exactly where this fits, and it fit right perfectly where we wanted it. So I just love it when God's plan comes together. Bruce's plan didn't work so well. Remember last week, he decided the best way to solve his prayer issue was yes to all. Just give them everything they asked for, and after that, everything would be okay, and everybody would be happy. And, well, it turned out to be chaotic. I mean, after all, everybody prays for lottery numbers, right? So that means everybody gets their numbers. What happens when one kid prays for no homework and another kid prays for homework? What happens when prayer requests just don't even make sense for what you're asking for? I mean, how does God go about resolving when one person asks the Dallas Cowboys to win and then the unrighteous person asks for the Washington Redskins to win? What do you do? Well, obviously, you go with the Dallas Cowboys, right? I mean, that's just the way it's supposed to work. And so the problem is that God can't answer prayers just based off of what we say we want. Prayer has to be a little bit more than that. So Bruce makes a mess, and as typical, when humans make a mess, what does he do? Now he goes running to God. Now he goes and seeks out God. And it's interesting, he goes running in and just in a chaotic sense of his own, just tries to summon God like a genie in the lamp. Isn't that how we kind of approach God sometimes when we make a mess of our lives? Hey, God, come down and fix the mess that I made. I love the way God entered that scene, mopping the floor, cleaning up the mess. And you know what I love even more? Three simple quotes that you'll find in that little clip, because it's going to be the outline for our sermon. Quote number one, no matter how filthy something gets, you can always clean it up. Quote number two, if you want to see a miracle, be the miracle. And quote number three, that's everybody's problem. You keep looking up. And so I want to dive a little bit deeper into those lessons as we begin to intersect them with Jesus' lesson on prayer. Specifically, we've been looking at what I call the model prayer. Some people call the Lord's Prayer. The title you give it does not matter, but you have to understand this was the direct response to when the disciples came to Jesus and said, Jesus, teach us to pray like John's disciples because they got something we don't, and we want what they have, so you teach us. This was the beginning of the lesson. Please make sure you pay attention to that. This little sermon series that we're doing, this is just the beginning of what it means to establish a prayer life. This isn't the whole story. That's going to take a little longer to put all the pieces in place. But the lesson Jesus taught, it was a great outline. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And by the way, one more quote from that clip I want to make sure you understand. This God thing, this prayer thing, may not be as easy as you think it is. Because we understand as we've been going through this that this prayer thing isn't just about what I need. If you did last week's homework, as you wrote everything you thought you needed for a day on the back of the page, you probably thought a lot of things that you needed. Funny thing is when you turn the page over and you started filling in the blanks between what you had and what you were lacking, my guess is your list of what you already had that you thought you needed was already there. And so your need list got smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. Maybe even you found out that your need list was empty. If that's the case, congratulations, you got the point of the exercise. God answers our needs, but most of the time he answers them before we even realize we need them. So there are some valuable lessons that we've covered with this model prayer. Prayer is only as important as you make it a priority. So your importance of prayer isn't about how important you tell me prayer is. The importance of prayer is how much do you pray? How much priority did you give prayer? Do you give it the best part of your day? When we approach prayer, we need to do so freely but respectfully. This was the lesson from the Father, that our Father in heaven, we're supposed to approach him just like we would our dad. And you understand when you approach dad, especially when you approach dad in need of something, you approach him as you understand he loves you, but you just don't go barging in making demands of dad. It usually doesn't end well. And so we need to do so freely, like our father, our dad, but we need to do so with some respect. Prayer is an outreach activity as we pray for the lost. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's the idea that God wants us praying for the kingdom, specifically the growth of the kingdom, specifically for the lost that are outside of the kingdom. We did the exercise at the parking lot where we filled in the parking lot spaces, not only with people in the church, but then people that needed to have a parking space out there because they need to have understand what it means their relationship with God. So it's an outreach exercise. Prayer isn't just about me. It's about me praying for those that are outside of the kingdom. Prayer is a daily thing, especially when it comes to your earthly needs. So God doesn't want you storing them up and coming once a month and say, hey, God, can you give me a month's worth of provisions and then come back the next month? God really did mean that he wants you to come to him on a daily basis. And we discussed how that will change my prayer life, especially when it comes to our health issues. Again, pray for healing, sure, but what's the daily need? Pray to heal me for this one day so I can make it through this one day so I can be the best example for you so the next day I can come back and praise you for the day and then ask you to heal me for the next. Man, that's an impressive prayer, is it not? And well, as we continue through, the last two segments of this prayer kind of deal with the same thing. Remember last week we talked about the daily bread. That's the earthly needs, the physical and the emotional needs of here on this planet. This, now we're going to talk about the spiritual needs. And the spiritual needs all revolve around one topic, and it is, how do we deal with sin? And the idea of how do we deal with sin is actually divided in two pieces. The first part is how to deal with sin that we've already committed. And the next one is how to deal with sin going forward, and then how to keep my life on the path of walking in my relationship with God. And when we begin to talk about the idea of how do I deal with the sin that's been committed, well, we're going to be talking about the forgiveness of sin. And Jesus kind of puts it out here this way, and forgive us our debts as we have also have forgiven our debtors. So now here's where our little quotes are going to come in. We're going to tie those quotes to understanding what did Jesus mean when he made this particular statement, because it's an important statement. And the first quote, remember what it was? No matter how filthy something is, it can always get cleaned up. And this is what you need to remember. When it comes to sin, God is willing to forgive your sin. Let me take another great big step out there. There is no, and please notice how I capitalized it, and I wanted to make it bigger. I probably should have put it in a different color font. But there is no sin you have currently committed that is too big for God. There isn't one out there. You have nothing in your past. You have nothing in your history. There's nothing that you've done in private, in public. There's nothing out there at this point in your life that God cannot forgive it. How do I know that? Because you're still breathing, and he's God. And so there is nothing that you have currently done that God can't forgive. But I want you to remember something in the clip. When Bruce shows up and God comes out there with the mop and he's already mopping, and then when it's time for this actually deal with the mess that Bruce created, how many mops were there? Two. You see, because I wanted you to notice that when it came to cleaning up the mess, Bruce was working right alongside God in this forgiveness idea. Now, I want to be careful. I am not saying that you have to work for your forgiveness. Please don't leave here today and say, well, they believe you have to earn it. No, but I am telling you there is a God part and there is a you part when it comes to this forgiveness. And by the way, Jesus believed this also. Note his statement. Forgive us our debts as we forgive others their debts against us. So there is a two-part of this coin, and I need you to understand that because we need to define some terms so that we understand we're all on the exact same page. The first term we have to understand is the word Jesus used, forgive us our debtors, or forgive us our debt, and debt is really simple. Most of us know what debt is. It's something that is owed or due. So if you have a credit card and you go down to Walmart and you buy yourself a brand new television and you walk down to Walmart and you walk down to the register and they ring up your television and you hand them the plastic and they swipe it, and then you walk out the Walmart with your brand new television, you didn't get the television for free. If you think you did, then please come see me afterwards. I need to explain to you how a credit card works, because the TV was not free. What's going to come in the mail in about 30 days? A bill. A bill that they expect you to pay, because when you swipe that card, you created a debt, okay? And that is what we need to understand, why debt is something that we owe. Now, the word forgive. Forgive means to cancel a debt. That would be the equivalent of you going to Walmart and you swipe the card and you take the TV home and you set it up and you're watching it. And then one day the people at MasterCard call you and say, guess what? We've decided not to send you a bill. Okay, after you go, yes, let's go back to Walmart and buy something bigger and see if it works again, you understand that they have forgiven your debt. You're not going to get a bill. There's no owe, but you get to keep the TV. Okay, that's important. Forgiving a debt means you get to keep what was given to you even though you did not technically pay for it. All right? Another word that we need to understand, and it's one that maybe we don't talk a lot about, but we're going to talk about a bit today, which is the word of penance. Penance means voluntary self-punishment inflicted as an outward expression of having done something wrong. Now, we'll dive into this word a little bit bigger, but you need better here in just a moment. But we need to understand there is this concept of penance. And the whole idea of penance is I've done something wrong, so in order to make it right, I have to do something good. Okay? It's not actually the way that we think penance is. Penance is something paid for something owed. We'll get into that. The other word that I want to make sure we understand is the word repentance. Because repentance and penance, while they sound very, very much the same, they are not the same thing. Penance means to express sincere regret or remorse about one's wrongdoing. And again, we're going to dive into this word in just a minute here. But I want you to get familiar with those terms so that when I use them, you know where we're headed. Because why are these terms so important? Well, it's really quite simple. Because we all have a sin debt. Now, this is what it means. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." So at some point, every single one of us have swiped the credit card. Every single one of us have done something in our life that is we would consider a sin, that is wrong, something that we should not have done. Every person sitting here, and by the way, every person standing also, okay? Every person here, as a matter of fact, every person in the world has a sin debt, something that is owed. And the thing is, just like the credit card, the bill comes due, and that debt has some natural consequences according to Romans chapter 6, verse 23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." So we'll get to the gift part in just a second, but I do want you to see that sin has a natural consequence to it, and that consequence is death. Now, we're not talking about physical death where they put you in a casket and bury you. We're talking about a death, a spiritual death, where when you commit a sin, there's a separation between you and God at that point. The path has a block in between it, and so we need to understand the idea that it isn't the way that we think it works, that we have a debt now that has a consequence. Now, how do we get rid of the debt? I mean, I don't want to be in debt to God. I want forgiveness, right? That's what I want. I want God to forgive the debt. And so the question now becomes, as we look at our debt, how do I, human being Barry, go about settling up my sin debt? Because you know what? I've swiped the card more than once. Matter of fact, I may have actually worn out the magnetic strip on my card at this point in my life. It's been swiped a whole bunch. There's many things that are in my life that just did not go the way I thought they should go, and I made the poor decisions. I did some things I should. I've swiped the card, so now here's the thing. I have a bill. And eventually, that bill is going to come due. So I am very interested in this topic of forgiveness. And well, now we're going to go to our words. Penance. Penance is one way that I can settle the debt, right? That's not a bad way to settle a debt. I mean, penance begins with the acknowledgement that we've done something wrong. So if I'm going to pay penance, that means I observe that, you know what? What I did was not right. Now, we're headed down the right path. That's a good start. We have a desire to make it right. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I did it. I didn't want it to do it. I don't want the results. I feel problems because I have done this. So I have something in my life now that I acknowledge I've done wrong, and I want to make it right. That's important when it comes to this idea of penance. So how does penance work? Well, penance is you can never take the action back. You ever had any golf players here? Okay. I didn't think we really had many golf players here. I'm not a golf player. They have these things in golf called mulligans. It's where if you make a shot that you don't like, you can call a mulligan and you get to do it over and you don't have to count the stroke. The sin debt doesn't work that way. Once you swipe the card, you can't take it back. You can't unring the bell, as they say. And well, the problem is penance only works if the one you are in debt to accepts the alternative action. So that means since I can't take it back, I have to come up with another action to make the bad action level off, like a balance scale. You know, I've got bad actions over here, so now I have to take enough action and put it on this side so that my scale gets equal, and that's how penance works. And well, let's talk about God's exchange rate, because it's quite high. According to Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, God says, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." All right, now I got a problem, because I don't have very much perfect in my life. Matter of fact, I don't have any perfect in my life. So what God wants in exchange for your sins is he wants perfection. That's a high payment. And you know what I have realized in 50 years on this planet? I don't have enough. I have nothing to put on the opposite side of the balance scale to level this thing out so that I am okay, so that I can experience forgiveness. There is nothing there for me to use. So now, the problem is, if God's standard is perfection, then he doesn't accept good actions to cover bad ones. So just so you understand, that means you can't read your Bible for 5 days to make up for a cuss word. It doesn't work that way. You can't steal something and then just simply say, well, I'll give some money to charity to cover that up. No. The system of Hail Marys and things like that don't do what they're supposed to do, because those aren't God's exchange rates. God demands perfection. And thus, just in case you missed it, penance cannot provide forgiveness. You can try, and it might make you feel better, but it isn't going to work. I got to move. We're moving. I'm going to go over today. I'm just going to go ahead and warn you. Repentance, it begins with the admission of wrongdoing, much like penance, right? Repentance, we have to come to the point where we want to make it right, but instead of feeling sorry, we now are dealing with guilt. Okay? In other words, in my soul, down inside of me, I want to make it right. We don't do something to make it right. We express or we make confession. So here's where we begin to differentiate between repentance. I'm not trying to earn it. I'm going to bring it toward God. There is regret and remorse. So that means something down inside of me. And, well, we take responsibility for our action and desire not to undo them, but to change going forward. See how repentance and penance are two totally different beasts? And since we know there is no action we can take to fix the past, we must ask God, the person we have done wrong, to forgive the account. In other words, just wipe it out. Grace and mercy. Now you understand why we've been singing about grace all morning. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we are, notice the words there, faithful to confess, we have to be willing to bring our sins before God. And then as we move forward from that, we have to understand the key differences, and keep in mind the differences, we are not making up for our sin, we are moving on from our sin. In other words, if you find yourself in the same place that you've always been, there's never any change in our life, then you need to understand, are you trying to do penance or repentance? True repentance means that we must have a change. Something has to be different. This is the essence of forgiveness of sins. And wouldn't it be great if that was the end of the sermon? Only problem is there's this other little phrase that Jesus puts at the end of the forgiveness thing. Forgive us our debts as we forgive others, as we forgive our debtors. That means if you want to see a miracle, you have to be the miracle. If you want to experience forgiveness, then you have to be willing to forgive. Oh, ouch. Wait a minute. No, that's not what I want. I want to be able to hold on to my grudge and have Jesus. Doesn't work that way. If you really want to understand forgiveness, Jesus says you have to be willing to do some forgiving. There are people in this life, they have wronged you. Matter of fact, I bet if I asked you to make a list, hint, hint, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, we may be making a list later, I bet if I had made, you'd have no problem finding somebody that has offended you at some point in your life. If you haven't, please come see me because I would like to meet you. I mean, you must be living in a cave somewhere. If they come seeking forgiveness, we are obligated to give it. If you want a good parable to read, I'm not going to go through it, but you can look at The Unmerciful Servant. Just go Google it. They'll give you the reference. You can take a look at what it means to give forgiveness. But the important thing to me, that means no grudge. That means no penance. They're not going to pay you back for it. There is no restitution in forgiveness. Okay, so that means as they come to you, that means, hey, that's cool. You have to give them this. And so I know what you're thinking. I'll just make sure they never find me. They never come to me. I never have to forgive. Well, there's a problem with that, in that we're supposed to forgive as God forgave. As part of my prayer life, I'm supposed to be praying for the opportunity to forgive. That means those people that have wronged me in my life, they should be part of my prayer life. Ouch, okay? God's forgiveness was not reactive, but it was active. What does Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says? But God demonstrates his own love for us like this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's important. God didn't wait for us to come to him. He came to us. We too must be active in forgiveness, not reactive. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy, dearly loved, clothe yourselves in compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together all in perfect unity. Oh, man, that's hard. That means I'm supposed to actively seek them out? Well, keep in mind, not just actively seek out people that have offended you. You realize this goes another step, right? We must also seek out other people that we have offended. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and they are remembering that your brother or sister has something against you, so you've offended them, leave your gift in front of the altar. Go and be reconciled to them, then come back and offer your gift. So basically, during offering time, if somebody pops into your head that you've offended in your life, God says, hold on to the check. Don't give it. First go fix the problem with your brother and then come back and we'll talk about your gift. Man, this forgiveness thing isn't as easy as we thought. I mean, it would be easy if all I had to do was receive forgiveness. That's not how it works. I have to be willing to give it. And you see, that's everybody's problem. When it comes to forgiveness, we keep looking up. We keep looking up at God and we keep saying, hey, God, please forgive me for this. Hey, God, please forgive me for that. Hey, God, I didn't have such a good day. I got a long list of things. We keep looking up from God to God to forgive, and we never experience forgiveness because we're never willing to forgive anybody else. And so we just keep down the same path. See, God says that, you know what? I have given you the power to forgive. And if you truly want to understand what my forgiveness means, that means you have to be willing to do that. And then when you begin to forgive others, you truly begin to understand the price that it costs Jesus to forgive you, because you do understand your forgiveness, it wasn't free. It cost Jesus an awful lot. So this week, I want you to begin to think about this idea of your debts. And who's going to be my volunteers this week? Come on down. Don't raise your hand. Come and get them. So this is your homework. We've been doing this every week. Make sure everyone gets at least one of these. I'll keep one for myself so I can explain the exercise for you. Everybody's going to get one of these. And the name of this is settle. Yeah, I love it when the kids do it because who doesn't want to take one from a kid? The name of this exercise is settle your debts. So this is what I want you to do this week. On the front side, and notice I gave you your scripture reference, so you can go look it up again. On the front side, we have the thing. We have the little statement here called forgiven. God, please forgive me. And this is what I really want you to do. I want you to write down the things that you feel God still owes you, you still need to be forgiven, not owes you, that God needs to forgive you for. I want you to write down exactly what's on your account, like the credit card statement. I want you to know, by the way, we're not turning these in at the end of next week, so this is your assignment. I want you to write down that, and here's then what I want you to do. If everybody's got one, you can bring the rest of them, send them right up here. And here's what I want you to do then, right up here. I want you to go and up in the front, Benji. I want you to go and ask God to forgive you. Then here's what I want you to do. Turn the page over. Oh, man, you had to make a backside to the page? Yeah. The backside of the page, the top part says, forgiving. God, please give me the opportunity to forgive. And you know what should be in that blank? People that have offended you in your life. People that you are still carrying a grudge for. People that have done something that you just can't seem to get over. And so I'm going to ask you this week to put their name on the list and then begin praying not for them to make amends, but praying for yourself to move on and to forgive them. Now, I want you to notice there's a third part to this little exercise. Man, these are getting harder as we go. Aren't you glad the series ends next week? The third part of this little exercise says, God, please help me to seek out forgiveness from. And so these are the people that... Oh, you need one for him? Here you go. There you go. I got more. So right here it says, please help me to seek forgiveness. So in your prayer life, as you're dealing with these and you're dealing with these, my bet is you're going to begin to think of people that maybe you did something to them and you need to seek out a little forgiveness. Their name goes here too. And begin praying for God to give you the opportunity and the courage to go and seek them. Now, let me make sure this works like I want it to. If you stole a pencil from somebody in second grade, please don't go track that person down. Okay, I got a feeling they're over the pencil by now. Okay, these are for the things that you honestly think there's friction between your relationship and somebody else's relationship, and now you need to seek out their forgiveness. This is probably the hardest prayer lesson that you will have to do because this is going to take a great deal of humility because you're going to have to admit the things that you are harboring, and you're going to have to deal with the things that you are holding in your heart against others and that others may be holding against you.